This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Payer Issues Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Paul Hain, Chief Medical Officer of GoHealth, the Medicare enrollment company. Dr. Hain, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Laura. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Before we begin talking about the health insurance marketplace and, you know, some of the technology that's transforming the market, I wanted to know a little bit more about you. Could you tell us about yourself and your career journey?
Sure, absolutely. It's never hard to get a doctor to talk about him or herself, that's for sure. I grew up kind of rural in Albuquerque, New Mexico, attended Rice University as an undergrad where I got an engineering degree. And then after that, I moved to Alaska to work for an oil company up there as a corrosion engineer, which was a fascinating detour on the career path. Spent three wonderful years up there. And then went to Vanderbilt University Medical School, where I stayed afterwards and did my pediatrics residency, as well as joining the faculty after that was complete and starting the pediatric hospitalist program there. Spent over a decade there. I was both a hospitalist as well as their medical director for quality, their chief of staff, and had all sorts of interesting experiences in the children's hospital there before coming down to Dallas with UT Southwestern and Dallas Children's to help them with their population health. Then moved over to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas, where I was their chief medical officer for several years. And most recently over here to GoHealth, one of the leading Medicare Advantage enrollment companies. And it's been really, really fun.
That's a fantastic journey and, you know, really interesting to hear. You've had so many different experiences. I'm wondering, you know, going back to your time as an engineer, what do you think really you were able to take from that aspect of your career and then bring it into medicine and healthcare and the insurance industry as well?
It is kind of interesting. I think that one of the more interesting aspects of being an engineer in medicine is that you are taught a certain way of thinking when you get an engineering degree, a logical problem-solving approach to fun, what I always thought were fun things to solve. And it was interesting to bring that engineering mindset into, certainly when I was doing a lot of quality work for hospitals. My friends are very quick to point out to me that medicine is not like running a factory, but a little bit of a hospital is. For instance, we introduced statistical process control methods in one of the hospitals I was in to make sure that we were really good at putting correct ID bands on patients, right? So that really is kind of like running a factory when you talk about trying to do the same thing perfectly every time with great quality. So those kinds of experiences were really great for me.
Fantastic. Now, when you look at the health insurance marketplace, how do you see it changing today? What do you really see as being the big trends that are making an impact on where the health insurance marketplace is going?
Yeah, GoHealth, we run a biannual state of Medicare survey. And recently we did that again, and we asked current beneficiaries who or what they relied on for help when signing up for Medicare. Because you know it's a confusing process with a lot of things to consider. And the top source for enrollment assistance remained an in-person meeting with an agent. But we found that calling an agent over the phone has been trending upward since last year. Up to 20% of folks were calling the agents in 21 versus 13% in 20. And certainly the pandemic played a huge role in that, as it did with many things that used to be face-to-face that are moving to either completely digital or somewhat telephonic. But I think this trend is probably going to continue, that we're going to see more enrollment aid that's either digital or on the phone. The other really interesting thing that came out of that survey is an aspect that's changing, which is folks' financial situation. Respondents who are nearing the Medicare eligibility age are more likely this year than last year to report an inability to pay all of their healthcare expenses each month, up to 22% with this survey versus 14% in our previous one. And similarly, they have to decide between paying a medical bill or paying for household groceries or other bills. That question is also trending upwards since last year, 24% in 21 versus 15% in 2020. And those nearing the Medicare age also report an uptick in their inability to afford healthcare services across the board, like preventative care, prescription drugs, diagnostic care. And then lastly, the last thing that was I thought was really interesting in that survey was that there's an increase in the proportion of near Medicare folks who say they'll pick their Medicare plan based on what they can afford. So the potential implications of all that is really that even more people will be searching for less expensive health insurance options as they age into Medicare, which I think just underlines the cost issue that we're seeing in the country, but it's really starting to hit our seniors.
That's so interesting to hear about and really then have the numbers behind, you know, what the preferences are and kind of the situations and the changing situations for some of the Medicare beneficiaries or those who are nearing, you know, being able to have Medicare. So from your perspective, what role does technology and digital transformation play in the healthcare industries? Can these things, you know, help make sure that healthcare is affordable and health insurance is affordable for patients and people going forward?
I certainly think it's going to have a role. And as seniors become more and more used to this technology, it's going to be better and better for them. If you look at from a consumer standpoint, if you just look at virtual visits during the pandemic, right, they really became more mainstream. But interestingly, it's not always what's preferred. So while up to 25% of current beneficiaries said that they had a virtual visit with their doctor last year, fewer are open to the idea going forward, even if they had one, because they say they just prefer seeing their doc face to face. So some of that technology and digital transformation is we're going to kind of see it unfold, whereas other things like the ability to have an app that connects you for, say, your diabetes care or something like that, I think is rolling out more quickly to the commercially insured population, the Medicare. But as folks get used to that in the commercially insured population and they transition to Medicare, I think we'll see it take off. So it's a bit of a wait and see, but I don't think there's any going back from the improvements in technology and the abilities to affect people's lives positively with them.
Absolutely. I think that makes a ton of sense. From your perspective, obviously, as the tail end of the baby boomers are aging into the Medicare age, you know, is there anything that you see from their preferences versus, you know, some of their predecessors that really makes you think, you know, this is a trend or something new that the healthcare industry needs to adapt to?
I think it's going to be kind of a slow, subtle shift as opposed to a big, you know, cliff that we fall off of and suddenly everybody's like this. Folks are, as they're aging into Medicare, they really are more technology savvy than the generation before them. And we do see that in our surveys. I don't have any stats off the top of my head, but we know that the age-ins, the folks who are turning 65, are much more comfortable using digital tools. They're much more comfortable using their smartphone to interact with you. They're more likely to have a smartphone. So I think as we go forward, we're going to have a much larger opportunity to be interacting and helping people with digital technology and tools.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. Now, before we wrap up our conversation, I'm wondering, what are the top three trends in healthcare that you're following right now?
Well, I think you have to start with COVID. I mean, it's just been dominating, and as it should have been. You know, vaccination rates in seniors are robust. They're up to 80%-ish in areas. But we're seeing a lot of downsides of the pandemic coming through, right? The social determinants of health issues, loneliness, isolation. So how that all works out, how we solve for it, and how people bounce back from it as the pandemic ebbs, I think is still to be seen, but is going to be an incredibly interesting topic. I think the second topic I would say is telemedicine. We touched about that a little bit in technology and digital transformation, but when you look at how fast people pivoted, it was like nothing I had ever seen. If you look at the Medicare utilization of it, 0.3% of folks in Medicare were getting telemedicine services pre-pandemic. And it jumped to 27% literally overnight. That meant that seniors had to figure out how to do it. The docs had to figure out how to do it. And everybody moved very quickly to do so, which to me was just outstanding and incredible and shows what can be done when it really needs to get done. In fact, the percentage of folks who are offering it, like from the medical side, went from 18% to 64% literally overnight. So those types of things, I think, bear watching. I think telemedicine has phenomenal potential to help increase the number of folks that can be helped, because if you are, say, taking care of folks in a rural setting, the ability to do it through a video instead of getting your car and driving a far place over here and then to a far place over there, or having all these folks have to drive all the way in to see you, is going to make things incredibly more efficient. And I think we'll actually be giving us an ability to have more providers in more places than we have before. When we're talking about provider shortages in rural America, I think this could be a really great solution. And then thirdly, I think it bears watching the continued transformation of value-based care, especially how Medicare Advantage has been leading that. And we've seen a relaxing of restrictions around benefits like flexibility enabling social determinants of health considerations, things like food cards or rides to the doctor that your insurance company would be allowed to provide with those premium dollars. When we see those types of things happening and the ability for a group of physicians, or I should say a group of providers, to come together and affect change, and that we want to do these sorts of things for our folks, and it's okay that the Medicare Advantage plans are paying for it, that's all legal now, we can practice the way we want because we're being paid either near a capitation or a really strong value-based care contract. I think you're going to see a lot of ingenuity and innovation in that space, and I think it's going to really benefit our seniors.
Dr. Hain, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Laura, it's been absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.